And then they tried, oh, she wasn't allowed to speak, except everybody was allowed to speak later, just in turn and according to the rules, because, you know, legislators are required to run by certain sets of rules, and wow, it's over already. Holy cats. That surprised me.
Quid pro quo just went through Sam's head.
Yeah.
Just really interrupted
yeah.
him.
Can you tell I haven't done this in a while? Jeez. Alrighty. This is Ask an Atheist. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. Our email is questions at atheist.radio. Our Twitter is Ask an Atheist WA, and I'm actually starting to use Twitter now. It's actually working out pretty good. Thank you, Dave.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome.
And I think I'll see you next week. Huh.
We want to do a little extra on this, sort of wrap these thoughts up.
Where were we?
We were like, talking about impeachment.
You were talking about Stepanek and the I'm not allowed to speak, despite the fact that like you're purposely not following the rules that the GOP laid down in 1999.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
These are their rules. It's amazing.
Their rules. And it's not going anywhere.
No.
And I found, like, I'm all in on this impeachment thing, but I know it's not going to go anywhere.
I don't know if that's true.
After, what is her name?
Yovanovitch or...
Yovanovitch?
I can't remember her name specifically. But so somebody posted a picture of a flight that they took the other day, and literally every screen was watching the impeachment. So I find that very promising.
This could be the thing. This could actually be the thing.
Like, after 3 years of absolutely...
Maria Yovanovitch.
Yeah, Yovanovitch. 3 years of criming in a public, and he finally...
Here's the thing that drives me crazy. You talk about the Stepanek issue. She knows. She's a lawyer. She understands what's going on.
Yeah.
She knows she's playing to the cameras. She also knows that Fox News is just going to play her,
yeah,
and they're not going to explain why she's purposely being idiotic here.
Every single thing they did was sound bites.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so they know, because what matters is the Senate, and what senators care about is whether or not they're going to get reelected. And if they're in a Trump-heavy state who's only watching Fox News and knows that all they know is like, well, this is unfair because they wouldn't let her speak, and like put it in real basic terms to spin it as much as possible in the quote-unquote no-spin zone, then they can't vote to impeach because then they don't get reelected because they didn't support their guy, because it's purely just teams. So damn cynical about this whole process, because it's just like every time I see something good, every time I see something that makes sense, then I read the other side and I'm like, what does it effing matter? Like, who, what do I care anymore?
I have some thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Help me care, Sam.
Okay. Well,
okay, my thoughts on this are that impeachment itself as an actual thing does not matter. It's the inquiry that matters, because right now we're going into an election cycle. So what's going to happen most likely is that it's going to get shelved. But what is happening is there is now an entire portfolio of things that Trump has done that is illegal,
yeah,
and is falls under high crimes and misdemeanors laid out in the Constitution going into the election. Because the thing is, if we impeach or force him to resign within the next year, then we get Pence, and Pence just basically is just going to let him just write him off.
Right.
Not commute, but pardon him.
That's just it. I think this whole thing is a political hack, because you have a Justice Department that is corrupted and flawed.
Yeah.
It will not do its job. The legislature, which is not controlled by the White House, can't depend on the Justice Department to affect justice. So the legislature has to use what tools it has available to collect the evidence now and get it in one place now, so that when he's no longer in office, it can go legal, and then politics is mostly out of the question.
And then also the Supreme Court is 5-4 hostile to reality, so we can't count on...
We don't actually know that yet. We're assuming that. But the thing about the Supreme Court is that it's a lifetime position. They, and if and if what Trump is doing is that bad, they might turn on him. Like, we've seen this. This is stuff we've seen before. You can say it's different now, but it's not that different from stuff we've seen in the 19th century. And this is playing out a lot like that does. So I have some hope there. Not a lot of hope.
Yeah,
but
I have no hope.
But you have to get you have to when the Justice Department isn't doing justice, this is how they're getting the evidence in one place. This is how they're collecting the evidence so that when the president isn't a sitting president anymore, he can be charged.
I just look at it as like, okay, when you look at it from an election standpoint, the people who are supporting Trump, they don't care. They don't care what's illegal. They have their guy and that's it. And then I look at the people opposed to him. And here's the thing about the Democrats. They're a big tent party. They are covering a lot of different issues and agendas. So you have the union people who don't necessarily agree with the civil rights people, who don't necessarily agree with the environmental people. You got all these different groups who have all different ideas, and they're tearing themselves apart. And I'm already seeing people say, I've seen what 1/4 of Sanders supporters have said that they will vote for Trump over Warren. Or, you know, is the exact same thing that happened in 2016 is just going to happen again, because the right doesn't care at all about who's president as long as it's their guy. They don't care what he does as long as they give him their corporate tax breaks and they just he can destroy everything else that they want. And the left just eats its own. So
right.
So eventually there's something in place for the Justice Department when that finally gets fixed. But what if that never gets fixed? Because we are dysfunctional as a nation. We cannot find place, not even agree with people across the aisle, but agree with people on our own side of the aisle.
Well, if there is unless there's a coup, this gets fixed one way or another, either in a year or in five.
Right.
And a good thing that. So eventually this portfolio of evidence that they're building now will come into play. Also on the Fox News side, there's cracks forming in that facade. Shep Smith left.
I know. I was shocked.
He was one of the two reporters on there that actually cared about sometimes.
And people noticed. And then you've got the other one is constantly going on about how,
Chris Wallace, right?
Yeah. Chris Wallace is constantly going on. Oh, what Trump did is really bad. Like, yeah. This is super bad.
Even Judge Napolitano is
he had to call
turning.
It. He said Trump did something illegal.
Yeah. So like even on Fox News, you've got people who are like, I'm a conservative. I support this guy, but what he did was illegal.
So that's why Trump's been pushing One World News, mm-hmm. a new news service.
Because he's in typical Trumpian fashion.
Is that RT?
Well, it's probably subsidized.
I'm waiting for Trump to start calling for RT, like go to RT, because it's like literally Pravda. Like,
yeah.
Let's literally have the Russian government do our propaganda for us and have our president
it would
back
not,
it.
It
like,
would not surprise me. Yeah, I think either the system, either things change and things get better, and or there's a revolution and a war,
which is very very bad,
which is super not a good thing,
right?
And I think things will get better. Here is it's a learned optimism, but here I have some optimism because I'm seeing not from people like Jim Jordan, not from people like you know, not from Nunes, but his cow,
his 100 yeah. square foot farm.
There are cracks in the facade. Like, this is how it went down with Nixon, where everybody was super behind Nixon, and then there's a little bit of a hesitation here, a pullback there, a little bit here, and then finally the wall comes tumbling down.
I think we had our John Dean moment, too.
Yeah.
But
I think that was this week.
Yeah, that was this week.
But the thing is that the Nixon moment, the turning point for Nixon, was when he tried to fire the investigator looking into him.
Mm-hmm.
Trump did that, and then it was reported to Congress, and they literally refused to read it or accept
it.
Don't
follow the metaphor too closely. This isn't a direct comparison. This is a metaphor.
I understand it's a metaphor, but at the same time, like, literally perfectly analogous situations happened and we got two entirely different results, which tells me that we're living in a different time. Like, what applied then does not necessarily apply now. Otherwise, well, it would have already applied.
That's true. But people are still people, and social factors work the same way. If Nixon is tripping you up, look at the way the McCarthy hearings went down. A little bit of hesitancy here, a little bit of a crack there, a little bit of weakness in the argument, and then suddenly, in session, somebody says, "Have you no decency?" At last, Senator.
At long last, sir, have you no shame?
Yeah, or something like that. And then suddenly everything falls apart. It happens slow, and then. It's a Jenga tower, mm-hmm. is my point, is you keep taking the blocks out, and there's a lot of blocks missing, and at some point, it's just gonna fall over. Are we to go to super happy fun land? I mean, does utopia await us on the other side? No, because 50% of the freaking country still support this guy. Like,
yeah.
He's not Lex Luthor. He's not Ming the Merciless. He didn't, like, come down from space and, like, people voted for this fucker.
This is my show.
I was wondering, like, I bit it back a couple times, some of my vulgarities. But, by the way, I want to say, I'm not sure you entirely have proof that he didn't come down from space. There is very little human in this president. I would not be surprised to find out.
We have not yet seen his long-form birth certificate, so...
I think the way you guys were talking about him downstairs, like, we're okay. Oh, I didn't mention this at all. My cat's in the cat hospital right now because he had a diabetic seizure last night.
Poor buddy.
Yeah, I know. And it looks like he's going to be okay. And in fact, it looks like he might have had a seizure because the diabetes might be in remission.
That's weird.
That's so, a thing?
Yeah, that can happen, apparently.
Oh, is that only happen for cats, or can people do that, too?
I don't know.
just regrow your pancreas?
Yeah. And so we're working that out. And then, so what happened is, Becky and I were out with Roz at a show, and Mr. Adventure came up to my roommate, Jeremy, like, got his attention and then had a seizure at him.
The way he described the seizures, I mean, it's sad. It's super sad, but it's
But it's like Mr. Adventure was like, "Hey, is this normal seizure?" and Jeremy, thankfully, because it saved my cat's life, was like, "No, it's not.
It's not normal for your cat to act like Donald Trump."
Well, that's just it. Is the way you guys were describing when cats have a seizure or when a grandparent had a stroke or something like that is the way people describe Donald Trump. And so it made me think that Donald Trump isn't a person. He's what happens to a human when they boot to an emergency run level.
So this is Third Rock from the Sun rebooted.
Right, sort of. But, like, you know, something happens and something's wrong with the software. And so the system reboots and it doesn't go all, like, it's safe mode. Donald Trump is what happens to a person when it boots into safe mode.
So what we need, so if he's a robot, then we need to get somebody with we need an EMP blast or something.
Right.
Like a very localized.
Which means.
Not really. Not truly.
Now that we know humans can do that, there will be now be like in a couple of years, there'll be a street drug called Trump, and it will make you into Donald Trump for like an hour.
This could be a good thing. This means that he's more afraid of nuclear weapons than the rest of the people, because an EMP blast from a nuclear weapon would actually.
We're moving in real different directions. I'm suggesting that Donald Trump's personality is a deep structure hidden in all human psyche.
Yeah.
You're going Daniel Oliva on me on this one. I like yours better. Yes, because maybe that's why maybe he's got some sort of like protein-based fuel cell system, and that's why he has to eat like fried chicken and burgers all
that's
the time.
That's why he can eat it and not die.
Yeah. I also learned something. I had a realization about him the other day.
Uh-oh.
Donald Trump stands like I do.
Oh, yes, right.
When I have a bladder infection.
It's such a weird stance that he has. And people say it's because it's like he's got these shoe platforms that try to make him look taller than he is.
Oh, is that what that? Oh, no. Like, because, like, yeah. All right, I get those things, the bladder infections, and they're super painful. You know, they're okay. They're annoying painful, not debilitating painful. And so I always stand a little funny, and it literally is curved spine, leaned forward, and I'm like, because I had kind of woke up, and I'm like, hey, I'm standing like Donald Trump. maybe he stands like that because his pee-pee hurts.
I mean, that is a possibility. He doesn't, like, again, his diet is awful, so yeah, there's no way, like, his kidney is fully functioning at this point. But yeah, no, the thing is like, you can't really know how tall he is because he is literally always trying to project himself as taller than he really is.
I don't care.
It's just like he does. That's why he does awkward stances.
There are certain things about humans that I'll never quite get. And this the tallness thing.
Oh,
is something I'll never understand why that's so important.
People believe that makes you more authoritative fiat. I mean, it's just
I'm a loud asshole, so I can get people's attention even though I'm short.
So you have to compensate somehow. So you compensate by being loud. You're a loud windbag. So there you go.
Yeah.
There's actually it was a Christmas episode of Behind the Bastards, the show I was talking about earlier, where it was a reverse bastard. It was like a story about an amazing guy. And it was a guy, he described him as a guy who hacked human response to a tall white man with an authoritative voice. They'll just do whatever you say. Mm. And particularly Nazis were very susceptible to anybody who spoke with authority. Mm-hmm. They'd follow orders. And so he saved people's lives. Like, he literally walked up to a train that was full of Jews about to be sent to a death camp and said, "No, I got new orders. You're not supposed to send them there. Let them come with me. I need to take them to a different camp." And the soldiers were like, "Yes, sir."
Yeah.
And
he took this episode.
300 people and saved their lives, literally from a train to a death camp.
The psychology of authority is fascinating. I find it a lot more fascinating than Abnormal Psych, because it's because it's all the crazy stuff you get from Abnormal Psych.
Except for everyone does it.
Yeah, except it's not abnormal. It's super normal. It's
super normal. So it explains why 50% of the country likes Trump.
Yeah.
Because there is an actual thing there. Like, there's people that like authoritative personalities because it makes them comfortable in a way. It's like, I don't have to think about a thing because this Ubermensch is doing it for me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And I just realized I have a lot of prepper friends who are going to be mad at me because of this episode.
I mean, I kind of... the prepperism, it goes too far, and it's like you're now like positively putting energy into it, hoping that it happens, and that's very problematic. But I mean, everybody should have like kind of a prepper kind of hobby or something like that. Like, what is a good hobby that would translate from real world to post-apocalyptic world if it does happen? So that way I actually prove myself useful to whoever is in charge of the fake society.
A lot of my prepper friends use it as a narrative tool to train emergency preparedness.
And that's what Zombie Apocalypse was a lot about.
Right, like the Zombie Squad, like back in the day. I had a bunch of friends who were into that. And they were cool because they'd talk about the Zombie Apocalypse. But what were they doing? Blood drives, earthquake drills, like this is all good stuff. Emergency preparedness is a thing that I'm also interested in. I've done emergency comms, MCOM stuff, first responder training and all that back in the day, when I was sane enough for it. Now, and that's cool. And I like those people and those are my friends and they're fine. But every time I try to learn something like some new ham radio tech or learn how to freeze dry food or, stuff that you get these people who have boners for the end of the world.
Yeah, it's like a massive narrative.
That's just, I think I've already been on the record that sort of stuff depresses me. And here I am just trying to make candy. It's essentially what I'm trying to do. And here's a guy, I can't wait until you die of malaria so I can have steal a gun and take your stuff and eat your candy. I'm like, fuck you. Oh, yeah. All right. We done?
I think we're done.
Yep.
Awesome. End on a fuck you. Always good.